Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, you guys. Happy Friday, 9 a.m. Central. This is Anna joining you with Tori Shaw this morning. How are you, Tori?
Hi, I am doing great. Hello, and good morning, Anna.
Good morning. Guys, on the call this morning, I'm so excited to get to spend the next hour with my fast new friend and actually real estate agent. This girl, Tori Shaw, kind of changed my life when I was in Austin, Texas. I'll share a little bit about me before we get started with Tori and what she's been up to. But as some of you know, I lived in New York for 11 and a half years, but I am a Texan by heart. And I grew up in Central Texas originally, not far away from Austin, but I'd never lived in Austin. And I had an epiphany this summer that I needed to move to Austin. And it happened over July 4th weekend. I was here visiting some family, and the plane hit the runway, and I'd been thinking about transitioning out of New York for a while, but nothing had felt right. And, you know, Tori, I know I've told you this, but when the plane hit the runway, that was it. I knew I needed to move to Austin. I got down.
Well, it's a great city, and we are so happy to have you.
And Tori is a native Austinite, so those of you listening in this morning, hit Tori up afterwards if you want to talk to her, because I feel like everyone is moving here right now. So it's really, really fun. And, you know, quick story about that. When I was looking for an apartment for a couple of months, if you've read my bio, you know that I'm a yoga teacher. And I really thought, and Tori, I know that, you know, I found you at just the right time. I really thought, though, that I could be this person of the world, that I could be a gypsy and be a nomad and not have a home and put my stuff in my mom's garage and go travel about. And Denise Hasitz, the one that joined us a few weeks ago, is doing that right now in India. So, Denise, right, if you're listening, if you listen to the recording, we love you and wish you all the best on your adventure in India right now. But that's not actually me. And I so admire people that can do that. But, you know, we talk a lot on the show about following your heart, being true to yourself. And so for 2 months, I tried on what many of my friends have done, putting their stuff in storage and going about and being of the world, and that did not work for me. Any of you Virgos out there, you know what I'm talking about, maybe. But it just really, really, really didn't work. And I was so fortunate to be looking for apartments with this wonderful woman, Beth Wasko, who I need to reconnect with here in Austin, but she was kind enough to take me around Austin. And we stumbled into, what was it, 512? Is that where you were working, Tori?
I was at Urban Squared Realty.
Okay, so so she was at a realty place, and actually I wasn't even looking for a realty place. I was looking for the apartment leasing office down on South Congress, and what is it, Riverside, something like that?
Yep,
and
Riverside and Congress.
Yeah, Riverside and Congress, and I walked in, and I actually, there was a woman there who I had met years ago at Neiman Marcus. She was a makeup girl, and she had done my makeup. And she happened to be sitting there, Paige Watkins, and she was sitting there talking to who is now my very, very dear friend and guest on the show, Tori Shaw. And so I walked in and just immediately was so struck by Tori's just, you're really somebody that is a breath of fresh air. And I mean that in not a cliche way, but really like light. And you knew I just had a sense that she was going to show up. And true to form, like, we've been friends ever since. And not long, but we've really, like, gone deep into some conversations and friendship talk. And what I love so much about you, Tori, is that you show up. Like, you really, like, are your word. You know, when you say, hey, I'm going to come by. She brought me a housewarming present. I'm going to come by and bring it to you this time work. Like, And when it doesn't work, she just says, like, it's actually not going to work, and this work instead. So what I love is that, you know, plans change and things happen, but communication is the key to everything. And Tori, I just want you to know that, like, who you are for me is just a great communicator. You are always.
Oh, well, thank you.
So thank you. And we talked about her being on the show, like, before I think it even started. A long, long time ago, right, Tori?
Yeah, I think it was actually, you were talking about doing it, and I think you had your first interview scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
And then you suggested that maybe I should come on and talk about my real estate and my crafts and all that good stuff, and I've never really done anything like that before, so I'm like, hey, let's do it. And then here we are, the rest is history.
Here we are. Well, and what's so great and what I love that when I first asked you, I remember because I'm actually sitting in the spot where I asked you and you're sitting in my white chair and I'm sitting on the turquoise sofa and you were like, oh my gosh, no, I couldn't do that.
I think that actually was my first response.
Yeah. The first reaction is no, like what are we going to talk about, you know? But what I love is that, like, you sat there and then you really sat with it and thought, like, whoa, could I actually do that? And I love that you just went for it, that you tried something new and that this isn't something you've done before and maybe it's uncomfortable, and that's all great. Like, that's how we learn, you know? So,
well, I just have to say, Anna, for me, you are just such a motivator. And, you know, I just completely appreciate that. And I'm just so glad that we've met and become friends. I tell everyone under the stars that I meet, you have got to meet Anna if you want to, you know, just get your ducks in a row or something. Get some motivation. Just because you really are just so great. And I have been super happy to have you here in Austin. And,
thank you.
You know, someone I call friends, so.
Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate it. Well, on that note, I love your story. So I want us to be able to luxuriously have this hour to hear more about, you know, what's going on in your life. And I know we've both talked about how things have looked really different than what we originally planned on. So, you know, tell me a little bit. I know we talked about, you know, you in high school or wherever you want to get started. To just start sharing your story with people because, you know, for those of you listening, I hope that that's what you get on Fridays from us, is that in sharing our stories, maybe something opens up for you listening and you have maybe an aha moment that you wouldn't have had if you hadn't listened. So I hope that everybody listening will, you know, hear Tori's story and also, like, see something in it for themselves. So with that said, Tori, wherever you want to, you know, get started. I know I love your high school story about, you know, being such a rebel, and I was such a student council, you know. So I'm already, like, in awe of Tori because she just, like, marched to the beat of her own drum always.
Well, you call it that. I'm sure my mother has a very different description. but, yeah, I mean, when I'm from here, I went to, you know, all grades here in Austin. And, you know, Austin is a fun town. And I just really felt like, I guess, I had better things to do than be at school. So,
well, and,
you know.
I mean, you've been here. And, you know, I think that's fascinating because Austin is such a different city than it was 10 years ago. And it has really exploded. And you've been here, you're 30, and you've been here the whole time. Wait, what?
I should have told you that was off limits. I'm just kidding.
Oh, sorry. No, but my point in saying, and we're about the same age, but, you know, my point in saying that is that you've really seen Austin in so many different aspects.
Yeah. I mean, I literally remember when all of the stuff that's now just established neighborhoods and shopping areas down south towards Slaughter and Mopac was nothing. There was Circle C and a golf course down there. That was it. You know, now it's just like crazy up there. I mean, I love it. It's great. My mom lives out there and I'm sure she appreciates having all that stuff out there and close. But yeah, I mean, the city is definitely, you know, ever changing still today, right now. And But yeah, you know, whenever I was in school, I thought it was a lot more fun to go to the mall, go to like Travis, or you know, hang out at a friend's house or whatever. However, the school district didn't really think that that was the best plan for me. So
yeah,
they have a little thing about truancy. so anyhow, you know, my family just kind of thought that it was a better thing for me to go and actually live with a close aunt and uncle and their three girls for, I guess, the last 2 years of my high school. So I was sent to Mount Bellevue, Texas. No.
You were what?
I was sent to Mount Bellevue, Texas after school. Got really upset with me not going to school. It is a small town just east of Houston. So basically the middle of nowhere.
Got it. And did you go to school then?
I did. Yeah. Well, there wasn't really much else to do.
Nothing else to do.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. In places where there's nothing else to do and your kids will go to school. That's a lesson.
Exactly. So then I didn't have anything better to do.
Right.
But yeah, it was definitely an experience and one that has, you know, definitely molded me into the person that I am now, and I owe a lot. I owe a lot to my family for kind of sticking by me and not shipping me off to some boarding school or anything like that. But it definitely was a culture shock, a culture change for me. You know, I went from being a city girl and having my city friends and you know, all that good stuff to my Uncle Carl literally waking me up at like 5:30 in the morning telling me that I needed to go walk my lamb. And I was like, what? You want me to do what now?
So how was that for you? Were you angry about it? Like,
of course, for a while, most definitely, just because it was just such a drastic change. You know, but I think at the end of the day and at the end of the time there, it was kind of like sink or swim. You know, how can you really just self-destruct when, you know, this is temporary. And, I mean, I literally owe the fact that I graduated on time and, you know, had the opportunity to go to college and all that good stuff, you know, to that experience and to having an option. I'm really lucky to have, you know, family who cares enough, I guess, even in, like, the weirdest way, you know, to make those steps for me and try to keep me on the right path. So, you know, a lot of people that are in my same situation today and then and whatever, you know, they get kicked out of school or whatever, you know, their situation is, and they don't have that foundation. And it can be really hard to find on your own. I'm not sure I would have found it on my own. So, you know, I mean, it was definitely, this is definitely the peanut nutshell version. And there were definitely some emotional times during, you know, those 2 years. But, you know, again, at the end of the day, I owe a lot to the experience. So I can't call it 100% negative or, you know, something that I regret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and I mean, you know, I don't know how you feel about this. This is Universal Energy Radio, so we can say this. But, I mean, do you have a sense that, like, that was part of your fate, that, like, you really needed to have that happen in order to learn some lessons about, you know, a couple of things that I really like that I want to reiterate is that, you know, just that having that foundation made a huge difference for you. Like, so having a new appreciation maybe for your family that you wouldn't have had in that circumstance.
Well, most definitely. Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I couldn't agree more. You know, the girls that my cousins that I lived with are, you know, very close with, and the oldest one who's, you know, obviously closer to my age, she's just one of my most amazing best friends, and I can't imagine, you know, my life now without us bugging each other every week. And, you know, I don't know that I would have that relationship built had I not gone that way. And, you know, she's just been such an important person in my life. And I mean, I absolutely think it's a certain amount of fate. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I don't necessarily believe that all things happen for a reason. It's all predestined. But, you know, I think if you let what happens in your life do what it's supposed to do, then, mm-hmm. you know, you open the door to more options.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, I kind of feel what you do with those options is up to you.
Yeah, and I want to hear more about the career stuff, but something else that I don't even know that you realize what you said just now. And
uh-oh.
It's so powerful. No, it's so good. I'm so excited about it. I was literally like racing to write it down so I wouldn't forget. Because you said it so like nonchalantly, and I love that about you, that you say these profound things, and I'm like, wait a minute, back these. That everything is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think
that's,
about that.
That's definitely
that,
a lesson that I've learned.
Right, but you know, I really think about that, and you know, in different teachings and meditations and yoga or whatever, or watching what it doesn't matter. Like I really, that's something that always helps me to get through any situation, is that everything is temporary. So whether you're going through a hard time right now, or you are anxious or excited or really ridiculously happy, I'm always reminded of, like, all of those ups and downs. Like, it's all temporary.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I tend to be, when I get in my down spots, downward spirals, you know, of course, they're always temporary, but I tend to be very, you know, well, this is just sounds about right, you know, type of attitude. And, you know, I catch myself saying always something. And, you know, it's really difficult to get away from that. But, you know, a couple of hours or a couple of days of that will go by and I'll start to get annoyed with my own self.
Right.
And then just people around me are probably annoyed with my negative attitude. And I'll just, you know, literally have a sit down and just be like, all right, look, make a list. My mom's probably loving that I'm saying that. But, you know, make a list and move forward. Like, what can you do?
So how do you do that? Like, what are your, because I love to, like, to share with people, you know, what the different things are that we do to get ourselves out of that funk. Like, you know, everything is temporary. So if that's the case and you're in this place of, like, oof, things just aren't good. Like, you're just not feeling it. So what are some things that you do? I'm really curious about what you do to kind of
Again, literally, mom is probably just delighted, laughing out loud, I'm sure, right now.
Hey, mom.
Hey, Bev. Anyhow, but my mom is a huge, huge lister. She is a single mom, you know, raised me, just us, and has amazing, you know, connections in the music industry and has a production company, Light My Fire Productions, and has just always been super busy, not to mention always had a job, a full-time job as a legal, very highly sought-out legal secretary, and just a really busy woman.
I just want to back up and give a shout-out to your mom. So your mom's a legal secretary, like, full-time, and has a business, and is a single mom of how many kids?
Just me.
Okay.
I'm a single. I have two half-sisters. But, yeah, just me with my mom. And
that's
all the good
lot.
Stuff. So, yeah, I mean, she definitely was juggling a lot and still does to this day. But she is, you know, a really big lister and, you know, has always been a really big advocate of just, you know, bird's eye view of the situation, what exactly is going on. Because when things are just chaotic and you're also upset or stressed or whatever in the midst of, you know, juggling normal stuff, it can be really easy to lose sight of what the actual problem is. Mm-hmm. You know, so you just sit down and just say, you know, let's make a list. What is putting me in this place right now? And then literally knock them off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found that kind of getting bearings that way has really helped. You know, mm-hmm. What's the problem? How can I eliminate that problem? Who do I need to contact to get that off my table? You know,
mm-hmm.
Do I need help with this? Can I figure it out myself? You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you literally can see the things like just being crossed right off of your list and right off of your source of anxiety. So, I mean, I literally do that. I have a probably a 3-page list going right now for my little outdoor SoCo market tomorrow. So we'll see if we can mark some of those things off today. Definitely. That's really how I cope.
So what about, so is it the same when you're just, you know, sometimes we're just blue, like for whatever reason. And I don't know, there have been times when I'm just kind of like apathetic or I'm just not feeling it, like fill in the blank, right? It applies kind of everything. Have you ever felt that way?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that is where my crafting and stuff comes in. You know, I've literally self-taught on refinishing furniture and, you know, upholstering or just tinkering with stuff. The weirdest little crafter. I literally can't hardly drive by a demo pile where someone's, like, ripping everything out of their house and has a big pile of, like, wooden junk on the side of the road. You know, and so I just kind of stockpile fun little pieces of reclaimed wood or, you know, go to really horrible antique shops and just find really awful looking pieces of furniture and, you know, just kind of stockpile them. And when I need to literally disconnect, that's what I do. I'll just look at one of them and think, you know, what can I do to you? And, you know, by the end of the process, which sometimes it takes an afternoon, sometimes it takes a week, sometimes it takes months. But, you know, when it's all said and done, this sense of accomplishment that I get when I've made something that was literally bound for the dumpster, the landfill, and I've turned it into something that, you know, somebody would really like, you know, me or someone else, you know. That's just, it kind of, for me, that feeling is just so accomplished and then I'm so proud of what I've done and then I usually like it.
Right.
You know, it's hard to, it's kind of, you know, like a natural endorphin or, you know, versus serotonin or something. I don't know. You know, it's just, how can you be too blue when you're like super ecstatic about something? You want to call people and be like, hey, look what I did. And, you know, you've got something
amazing,
noteworthy. So
yeah.
It kind of, you know, turns what might be, you know, a negative conversation of I'm down in the dumps and this and that to, oh, my God, I worked my butt off and look what I did.
Right.
So, you
but
know,
that's
crafting
so fascinating.
Has always kind of been my outlet.
I didn't know that crafting came from, like, oh, I'm not feeling so great. And that's, I mean, I think that that's phenomenal. But when when somebody asked me that, just to share a little bit, that is so foreign to me. So I love that that's your outlet because I was thinking like, oh, I go to yoga, I meditate, I journal, I, you know, get together with a good friend who's really positive. Those are like kind of the blanket statements. And here we've got Tori Shaw, who's like, oh, I created a business and like made crafting, you know, and started making beautiful things out of unbeautiful, like deeming, you know, unbeautiful deemed things. And that is amazing. How did you, I'm truly like inspired by this because this couldn't be more foreign to me right now. Like I don't even hang
well,
pictures
I
in
think
my
it, I think it, well, your apartment's adorable and I wanted to say, you were trying on the nomadic lifestyle. I mean, that would just be
a sin
to your apartment. Your apartment is just too adorable for you to be a nomad. Not allowed,
Thanks.
Anna. Not allowed.
Okay, good to know. How did that happen? Because, you know, I know, yeah, tell me wherever you want to start, but I'm just fascinated because it would never even occur to me. And people do things like that. You know, many people maybe on the call are like, oh, I took up sewing or maybe yodeling. Who knows?
Yeah, well, you know, I think, you know, what you, you know, kind of run to in your down moments, you are super social, you know, just very, you really feed off of other people. I am a social person when I need to be, and, you know, I, you know, don't want to say that I'm like some horribly mean person or anything like that, but I'm an introvert really. I just really, you know, I've really mastered hiding that because, you know, introverts just in general are kind of, you know, people can't figure them out. So,
maybe
you know, it's like a... Yeah, you know, I mean, whatever, for whatever reason it is, you know, I've, you know, kind of developed a way where people don't really know that I'm an introvert. But if I'm feeling down, like, I really don't want company. And it's been, you know, a bad thing and a good thing. Good thing is that I just really have time to just kind of disconnect. And like I said, you know, as I've grown, I've really got into crafting, teaching myself how to refinish furniture and do all that good stuff. And those are really kind of like one-man projects if you just really want to kind of delve in and focus on it and just have it be yours and own it. You know, it could really be just your own time. And I think when I'm down, sometimes I really need that time to just kind of recharge myself, make myself feel a little accomplished. And then once I've gotten there, then I can, you know, reach out to people and grab a cup of coffee or, you know, call my mom and whatever. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's just like everyone's a little different. And I think that, you know, for me, when I'm super down, sometimes I can be just impossible. You know, I mean, like I said earlier, I've really sometimes if I get in a bad place, you know, I'm very like, no one can help me. I always have a reason why something won't work. And, you know, my answer is always something. And I just get really cranky and frustrated. And, you know, not only do I not like to come across like that to people that I love in my life, they're obviously trying to help. But, you know, I just feel like I have to disconnect until I'm open to hearing you know, the help that people are so willing to give me. So, you know, that's kind of my, I guess that's where that comes from. I just, it's a disconnection process until I'm open to receiving the good.
Yeah. So where does the, you know, tell me a little bit about, you know, I know that you studied design in college, and I think that your career path has been really fascinating because you got away from who you really were and then you came back to it. So, it sounds really spiritual for you. Like it's really something that like you need to do it for your soul.
I mean, I think so. Yeah. I have, you know, a really eclectic eye. I studied interior, design at Stephen F. Austin when I was in college. And, you know, it was just something that really inspired me. I loved everything about my classes. I loved, you know, everything about the piece of furniture, you know, a room or a project coming together and being and like, you know, saying like, I created this in my mind and here it is. And I love that. It's very empowering. And the, you know, positive feedback that you get from other people, I really like that. And, you know, it's definitely my outlet. And my personal, you know, passion and drive. So definitely it's a difficult industry really to get into. And I did stray away from it and I got into, you know, leasing for a little while, and which I loved that. That was a great, great career, but just not, it wasn't creative enough to kind of hold me down in it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I moved to San Antonio for about 2 years, and I was doing spa management there. And
you were doing what? Oh, spa management.
Spa management. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, as wonderful as that was, again, you know, I love working with other women, and the salon industry is definitely, you know, a fun industry if you can do it. And, you know, have access to really great perks that I miss.
Yeah, I'm sure.
but anyhow, you know, again, that direction is lacking creativity for me. So my mom and her significant other, my stepdad equivalent, they've been together for like 18 years or something, maybe more, I don't know. Anyhow, forever. They have really been saying, you know, you should get into real estate. You should get into real estate. You have your own schedules and, you know, freedom to kind of focus on other things. And, you know, not to mention, you know, when the market's good, you have the opportunity to make, you know, really good money in the right city. And being in Austin is perfect timing. Right. So finally, you know, I just went ahead and said, you know what, I think I'll try it out. And, you know, I really, really hard life lesson that I learned, you know, was a couple of years ago. And my little sister was diagnosed with cancer, and she, you know, ended up passing away. And, you know, that just really taught me everything is temporary. Just do what you love.
How long
ago
was that story?
It was 2 years ago, March. 2 years in March.
2 years ago, and she was how old?
She was 19.
Wow.
So, you know, the most vivaciously, literally marched to the beat of her own symphony type of girl.
Right.
And, you know,
I love that,
who
by the way,
she would have done.
Is march to the beat of your own drum, and you say march to the beat of her own symphony. Like that
In
and of itself. No, no, but that just described her. Like, I love that you use the word symphony. I'm like, oh, I totally understand who she was.
Oh, yeah, she was a very, you know, just headstrong, compassionate, I mean, just an amazing little soul, you know. And she was quite a bit younger than me. And you know, you always say whenever you have super younger siblings, you know, like, oh, well, we get to know each other better when we have more in common. And that kind of thing. And then, you know, stuff happens and life interjects and, you know, you have to figure it out. So, you know, one thing that she taught me is probably just the most profound lesson of my life.
What was
is,
her name? I need to know her name.
Bailey. Her name's Bailey Elizabeth.
Okay.
Bailey Elizabeth.
Bailey Elizabeth, we're thinking about you right now. So I'm sure she's listening wherever she is.
I'm sure she is. She's probably rolling her eyes. She's probably like, oh, my God. But, yeah, you know, I just, one of my, you know, little sayings that I kind of live by is, you know, tomorrow may come, however, it may not look like it did today. So, you know, just because you're here doesn't mean that it'll be the same and you'll have the same opportunities and, you know, you'll have the same, it just, you know, it can be different in a blink of an eye. And, you know, so it's like, why waste these moments, you know, on trying to figure it out or tread water? You know, you only have one opportunity to do the things you love. And if you constantly wait for the right time or constantly, you know, put it off because you're working on something else, I mean, very, very likely chances are you'll never do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just, I don't want to waste any more time, you know, saying, oh, I'll do it later, or, you know, I'm not going to focus on that now because I don't have the money, or I'm not going to focus on that now because, you know, just, it's, you know, bad timing or whatever. It just, I can't stress that I've started within the last, you know, 4 years trying to live my life in a way where, you know, you only live once.
Right.
So,
yeah,
you know,
really,
and that's just definitely kind of, you know, I decided, you know, after I'd kind of taken that attitude, just go into real estate and see where it takes you. Best case scenario is you become a realtor. Awesome. You know, even better scenario is you become a realtor and you're able to incorporate your decorating and design eye to clients, or, you know, you're constantly meeting people every day who may put you in a position to network and do some crafts and hone your skill on refinishing furniture and all that good stuff. And, you know, to me, I kind of felt like I had a situation where I was going to put myself in a best-case scenario or a better-case scenario. So I didn't really find any, you know, negative reasons not to do it. And here I am. And quite honestly, you know, it has put me in a position to, you know, kind of focus on my crafts, and I, you know, have time to finish some pieces, and now I will be participating in the outdoor SoCo market for the first time tomorrow with some of my stuff. And, you know, I'm glad that. What's that? Sorry.
No, no, go on, go on.
Oh, no, I was just going to say I'm glad that, you know, as of right now, my, you know, best case, better case scenario is, you know, focusing more on the better case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and then what's to come next? I know we've talked about that a little bit, too. So I think what's next on the horizon is really exciting as well. Tell us a little bit about the SoCo Outdoor Market and what that is and, you know, for those that don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've actually never participated, so I guess I'll get, you know, the nitty-gritty details tomorrow, but it's the same spot where Thursday is kind of hubbed, that parking lot over by Vespio on South Congress, and some really great Austin local artisans go, and, you know, you get a little 10x10 booth, and basically, you know, set up your goods, and display them for the South Congressers. And, you know, it seems to be a really fun time. I stopped by last Saturday with my mom and was just, it looked really busy. And, I mean, of course, it's just a fun part of town for a Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hopefully I get some good traffic and meet some nice people. And all that jazz, I just, I really don't know because I haven't participated yet. Yeah. It's all very elusive, you know, you like sign up on the website and, you know, you don't really get a contact or anything, just a confirmation that you're in. And, you know, you show up on Saturday at 9 a.m. and figure out where your booth is.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of learn as you go.
I love that because, you know, when you say that, isn't that just how it always is? Like, don't we just really sign up and we just, you know, I mean, whether you're dating somebody or whether you decide to have a kid or you get a dog or, you know, it's all kind of like the SoCo outdoor market.
Yeah,
you sign up on the website and then you just see how it happens.
I think so. That's funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and for me, you know, I'm very much the person that's just like, what do you mean I'm not going to get any information? I need a handbook or something.
I know.
You know, but it's just really, you know, you just tool around on the website, and the info that you get there is the info that you get. And, you know, hope it all works out, which I think it will. I mean, it obviously will. You know, there are a lot of people out there. So, I mean, it seems to be successful, and I think it's been going on for a while. So I'm excited to get started. I hope to make it a more regular thing, you know, in the months to come.
Yeah, well, and I just want to share with everybody, you know, first of all, I mean, you have such a great eye, Tori. Like, you really, really do. I mean, she came over and brought me, like, the sweetest gift, and it would have never occurred to me to put that together. It was a little succulent, and I have it on my bedside table, and I think of her every day when I see it. And the reason, it's not that it's so wonderful, and it is, like, but the point is not that it's, like, the most beautiful thing in the whole entire world, even though it's fantastic. No, but the point, my point in sharing that, and this is why I always know that you're going to be wildly successful, is because I know the intention behind it. I can literally see you doing it, and I know that you put so much love into it, and that really makes a difference, you know? And so the fact that, like, I know that it took something. I know that you're really busy, and you made that, and it was, you know, with love and gratitude that you gave it to me and that I received it. And I think that, you know, any time our intention is pure and true, the rest works out. It really does. It really, I mean, the rest are details, you know?
No, most definitely.
So I know that this market's going to be great. You know, even if it's one person that, like, it really, like, it's really going to be great because everything that you're putting out there is a representation of you and something that you love. And you're going to get to share it with people. And it doesn't matter, like, the quantity. It's all about, like, the quality of it.
For sure.
I'm really excited.
I am too.
I want to make sure to chat a little bit about, you know, Austin Real Estate. We put some great stuff up on the post on this show today. And, you know, it is so unusual to have a native Austinite, not only who's incredibly crafty with an awesome interior design background, but then you couple that with real estate, and that you actually know the areas, like, you know the areas for 3 decades. That's huge. And so I mean, really, like, when I heard that you were a local, that you were born and raised in Austin, done. Like, I didn't need to know, you know, anything else other than I wanted to be with somebody
that knew this city in and out. And, you know, talk to me a little bit about, like, what you're, you know, what you're most excited about from a real estate perspective. And also with, you know, if you don't mind, I know we had a coffee last week about, like, your coffee and interior design vision. I think that's just so awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I think I read somewhere that, like, 150 people are moving here, like, every other day or something crazy
it's
like
150
that.
People?
Yeah, I mean, like, holy hundreds God. Of people every week, you know, are relocating to Austin. And, I mean, I absolutely
well,
see it.
Well, it's 18 degrees in New York, for you New Yorkers listening. It's 18 degrees, and it's 75 in Austin, so I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful day. I had a really nice, great temperature run this morning. I wouldn't live anywhere else in Texas for sure. And you know, I would really question if I would want to move anywhere else ever, you know, in the United States and live, but
we're
yeah, I mean,
let's expand real quick on that. We've got, you know, time and why do you say that? Like, what is it about Austin?
Well, you know, I think that this city really cultivates a certain amount of, you know, just exactly what I was just explaining about, you know, the way you live and doing things that inspire you. And there's a real cultivation of, you know, local fare and, you know, just be who you are and very accepting. You know, just there are a lot of cities, you know, that you hear about that don't have that. And I can't imagine living in a place where, you know, there's not a, you know, encouragement of art, encouragement of, I mean, the SoCo market in itself is huge. There are a lot of cities that don't have an outlet for crafters. I have a client actually who's been here from, and I apologize if you're listening, I can't remember so many of them, Colorado maybe, somewhere, small town. And, you know, we got talking and she said that she, you know, does crafting and does a lot of really cool smaller scale stuff for events, weddings and birthdays and different stuff like that. And she said that for years she's literally just been giving them away because she doesn't have an outlet to sell them. And, you know, I told her, I was like, well, you know, please come and hang out with me tomorrow and just see how it is. You know, I'm kind of figuring it out also. But, you know, when I was there visiting last weekend, the traffic is amazing. And people were buying stuff. I feel like if people weren't buying things, the vendors would stop going. And there seems to be a lot of regulars and all that stuff. So, you know, to imagine living somewhere where you don't have that kind of sense of community and sense of, you know, just be who you are and we're going to give it the time of day type of thing, I can't imagine it. And not to mention the city is beautiful. I mean, Town Lake, you know, there aren't a lot of cities that have that, and or I guess it's Lady Bird Lake now. It used to be Town Lake. But, you know, and there's just always something to do, festivals, live music. It's a very buzzy city with positive, creative energy. And that really drives me. And, you know, I mean, I've lived in Houston for a while, right after I moved from Nacogdoches, where I was going to college, and I, as much as I liked Houston, you know, it wasn't Austin. A lot of great things, really nice urban jungle type of place, and that's some amazing museums. But, you know, as far as living and rooting and staying there, it just didn't have enough to keep me there. And I mentioned I lived in San Antonio for a couple of years, and again, great city, amazing amount of culture there. The Riverwalk, spectacular. But, I mean, as far as there being, you know, that sense of just, you know, open-minded encouragement, it's just not there. So, you know, I feel like I would be hard-pressed to find another place in the state for sure that would give me those things. And, you know, I don't know about the rest of the country, but... You know, when you're lucky enough to start here.
Yeah, I really love what you're saying because, you know, what I'm hearing in your comments about Austin is that for you, what's most important is a sense of community, that you're also respected as an individual and that your creativity and entrepreneurial efforts are supported and cultivated. So what's great about what you're sharing, Tori, is that you know that those are the most important things for you, and you have found a city that matches that for you. And, you know, Austin is a great city, and to other people, those aren't the most important things for them. And so what I really am hearing is that we've all, as individuals, got to figure out, like, what's most important to us and be
for
in
sure.
a place that brings out more of it, you know. I mean, I lived in New York for 11 and a half years, and I lived there because I wanted that kind of energy. Like, I really, really, I wanted to be in the know. I wanted to be an international city. I wanted to not hear English every day. I didn't want to be with everyone, you know, that was, I didn't want to be in a homogenous environment. I wanted, like, diversity, diversity, diversity. I wanted the best of all cultures, and that is New York. And a few years ago, that started shifting for me where, you know, as I got older, I'm like, no, I really would like to be able to have lunch with my mom. I really would like a backyard to have a dog in. You know, things like that that didn't, you know, 11 and a half years ago when I moved there weren't important to me, then became important to me. So although I built a great life in New York, I knew I just couldn't be there anymore because it wasn't in line with the priorities that I now had. And
well, I think people change, we grow and experience things. And, you know, from our conversations that we've had, and I know that you're pretty much an open book, so I'm sure that a lot of your listeners have heard of, you know, the stuff that's gone on in New York. But I think New York was really what it needed to be for you when you needed it. And, you know, I think that you just, you know, I think outgrow is the wrong word, but I think that you just kind of came into your own and, you know, you kind of did that and experienced it and loved it. And then it was kind of time to, you know, home is where the heart is. Just like you said, you know, you want to have lunch with your mom and, you know,
and I did yesterday.
Have a yard.
That
was great. And kind of, yeah. And your mom's adorable. So
I know.
I would definitely be feeling that way too. I mean, even when I was in Houston, I felt that way. You know, I had brunch with Bev, and, you know, all the way in Houston and that kind of thing. But, you know, I think that if you're open to, and I think that you obviously were, if you're open to exploring what you really want, you know, then you can figure it out and then you can move in that direction. And, you know, that's what I was saying earlier. I don't necessarily feel like everything's predestined, but I do think there's a certain amount of fate. And, you know, if you let fate do what it's supposed to do and you're open to seeing the possibilities and you have the courage to just say, I'm going for it, you know, you just never know where it may lead you. And 9 times out of 10, your path ends up right back at home. Example, Anna.
Yeah, exactly. And I do agree that, like, you know, not that things are predestined, but I personally feel that there are certain directions that I go in that life is just easier, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was, I remember a professor of mine, Richard Brown. I know you're not on Facebook, so you're probably not listening, but he is a film professor at NYU, and I love films. I try to see everything out there, and I took a film class on Wednesday nights through NYU with Richard Brown, who's very famous, and in the Congressional Library, and, you know, that was another thing that really drew me to New York. I like to be, you know, with very learned people. And so it was great, and Richard and I got to be friends, and I remember telling him that I was going to move to Austin this past summer, and he said, yeah, I think that's a good idea for you. And at first it really, like, kind of felt like he slapped me. I thought, well, what are you talking about, Richard? Like, I clearly look like I fit in New York, and look at, you know, my fabulous coat, and don't I fit in here?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and I asked him, I said, why is it that you're saying that? And he said, you could live in New York forever. Like, you'd be great at it. It's no problem. He said, but it feels like for you, it's taking a lot of effort right now. You're really having to make it work.
And he said, and I think that by moving, your life will be much easier. Like, I think other things will fall into place. And that's
I hope
exactly
he was right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but that's exactly, like, you know, Tori, this, the apartment that I'm in is the exact apartment that had everything that I wanted. And it was the first place that we looked at first.
Mm-hmm.
And
we looked at some good stuff.
Yeah, and we looked at great stuff. And it wasn't that there was a shortage of great stuff. It's just I walked in and knew. I'm like, oh, this is everything that I said I wanted. And, you know, it really, and he was right. Like, it really, it was really hard for me living there towards the end. And now I just can't believe how much easier things are. But it was, again, like really paying attention to my gut instinct, which you've, you know, talked a lot about in pursuing real estate and now with crafting and with interior design. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, where your business is evolving. I want to, if you're
yeah,
open to
well,
sharing that with people. I don't
yeah,
know
absolutely, for sure. Very open to sharing that. Everyone, call me. But no, absolutely. Like I was saying, Austin is just really growing. It's really expanding. There are a lot of really exciting things, you know, on the horizon, especially for Central Austin. And I think probably the area that I'm personally most excited about is the, you know, East Side Holly area, the South New South
yeah.
Shore corridor that's going up. You know, I mean, it will slow and steady by, you know, not necessarily by, you know, city transformation standards. You know, I think we'll see a lot of huge differences in the next 2, 3, 4 years, which is really quick, actually.
Yeah.
So, you know, to have those things on the horizon and know that everyone's coming in, you know, just is a confirmation that those things will speed up just on a lack of people having places to go, you know, live, eat, whatever. You know, I would always joke that I spent a couple of weeks in L.A. once, and every place that you went, no matter what time of day it was, there was at least a 45-minute wait. Like, I just want a salad. you know, and it's just so overpopulated, and I feel like Austin is getting that way. And to me, you know, there's not a shortage of, you know, little amazing hole-in-the-wall gourmet restaurants and startups around. It's just that everything's so wonderful, and there are just so many people coming in that want to experience the cool little things of Austin. I mean, there's a 30-minute wait almost anywhere you go, almost any time of the weekend here in Austin. You know, so to see that, you know, makes me really you know, feel pretty confident that things are going to start changing, and the real estate market is going to obviously go hand in hand with that. You know, so I realize that people are going to be moving around and, you know, changing what they had originally bought and they're maybe growing out of into rental property or maybe just selling it all together. You know, but I feel like and I'm sure that there are other real estate agents in the city that, you know, do kind of the same thing, but you know, I feel like I offer a little more in the sense that I do have the decorating background. I can stage.
Wait a minute. Maybe other people. I just have to stop you right now. Maybe other people do it out there, but nobody does it like you do it.
Thank you. That's what I like to think as well.
Because you're great, but you're also like you're Tori Shaw. You first of all, by the way, I love your name. If you haven't noticed, Like, the way that your eye looks at things, Tori, I mean, I've seen you do stuff, and I'm like, that wouldn't even occur to me. And I consider myself to have a pretty good eye. But yours is so distinctly you. And no other real estate agent is doing you out there. So I just want to...
No, I don't think
like,
so either.
Okay,
I definitely don't think so.
I just want everybody
so
to get that.
Thank
no,
you. I'm being...
What I love
I'm
is
being
that
too patient to the competition.
but what I love is that, like, You're out there doing your thing, but and it's beautiful. But you've got like this little quirk, like there's just like something that's just a bit different that I wouldn't consider doing, and it's great. Like I mean, literally, guys, I need to put a picture of the succulent that that Tori gave me because I just love it so much.
Oh, thank you.
You know, and yeah, and I love that you're now expanding, you know, crafting into interior design, pairing
yes.
that with your real estate.
Well, it's been, you know, kind of a soul-searching thing. And, you know, then just like you said, when you let things come together, they tend to open a path that's just easier. And, you know, I talk to people every day who are moving, relocating, or whatever. And, you know, they've got furniture and maybe they want a whole new look or anything like that. So, you know, I'm working on a little project called Eclecto Chic, and that is, you know, where I literally will help anyone who is open or wants to help in, you know, kind of taking a look at the pieces that they already own and, you know, literally transforming them into something else instead of going out and spending, you know, $1,500 to $5,000 on completely refurnishing their new place. Right. You know, and then as far as, you know, the stage and stuff goes, I have a very unique eye for space planning. You know, so if you're selling anything like that, you know, I realize it can be difficult to walk in and say, I don't know how I can make this space look more appealing. It's difficult.
Right,
you know,
right.
Not only are you emotionally attached to what's in there because it's yours and you've lived there for however long, you know, it's difficult to walk into your home and change it. So,
right.
You know, for a prospective buyer or renter who's, you know, not emotionally attached to the way things are.
Right.
You know, so I like to think that I definitely, you know, have that, and my Eclecto Chic direction will definitely offer that. And, you know, I have a really great connection here in Austin with a local eco-friendly contracting company, and, you know, I'd love to help people. Also, I think that we were talking the other day at coffee and talking about, you know, my dream is, you know, to have an Austin version of Property Brothers. You know,
oh,
where
I love Property Brothers. Yeah.
People,
if you guys
yeah,
know,
you
Property
know,
Brothers is on TLC. Is that right?
Yes. HGTV. But you know, basically they show people what they want for their exact wish list, and generally 9 out of 10 for most on the show, as for most people in real life, what they want is well above what they can or want to pay. You know, so they basically go in and say, you know, this is what you want and this is what it costs. And, you know, if you would be open to allowing me to, you know, construct a design show, we can buy you something that's in your budget and gives you extra money to make it what you want. You know, it's very possible. And, you know, at the end of the day, you stand a chance of profiting more. You know, because you're buying something at a so-called deal. And a lot of the money that you would have spent in the renovations on something that was already done, you know, you're going to be able to write that renovation money off to a certain extent for, you know, upgrades to your home and different stuff like that. So, you know, at the end of it all, you know, if you're open to having the vision and open to taking the time, it can really be rewarding process to kind of do that. And I would love to let my Eclecto Chic services you know, do that for people. So we'll
I think
see.
That's great. Well, and you know what I also love about what you're saying is that when you've actually like seen some, like, okay, so for instance, you said earlier that when you're in a funk, what you do is you start crafting. So it's not to say that people out there who are looking to buy a house are in a funk. But there is something different about buying something and transforming it into a thing of beauty that came from maybe not so much. And,
well, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think energetically, I mean, this is Universal Energy Radio, for God's sake. I think energetically, it really makes a big difference in our emotional vitality, in our connection to our living space, in our respect for it, in our love for the structure and the bones, and really like planting, you know, our love and energy there, whether you stay there or not. Like, to make an investment, we so frequently we're like this, just, you know, quick fix culture. And what I love is that you're really like taking the time to slow it down and invest in a piece of furniture or in a piece of property and really creating it into a home.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, guys, thank you for listening. Tori, I love you. Thank you so much. This
has been
thank
you. I love you.
The
wow.
best way I could start my day. Thank you. I really am so grateful for you. And all the best tomorrow. Go check her out.
Yes, I hope you can come by.
I know, Congress tomorrow, Saturday. And on that note, if you need to find Tori, you can hit me up on email, anna@youglownow.com, and I'll set you guys up. Okay, bye. Thanks
bye.
So much, Tori. Love you.
Love you.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.